settler activity in the West Bank is just one of the many issues that divide Israelis and Palestinians. And with talks between the two sides all but dead now, peace in the Middle East seems more distant than ever. Tonight's episode of Frontline from our partners here at WGBH helps to explain why. It's titled Netanyahu at War. And it's as much about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as it is about President Obama's legacy in the Middle East. Obama wanted to restart the peace process from day one of his presidency, and he put the goal of a Palestinian state at the top of his priority list. But as we've witnessed for years now, there's a big problem. Obama and Netanyahu don't get along, which makes me wonder what kind of American president would have been successful at dealing with Netanyahu. I put that question to Frontline filmmaker Michael Kirk.
Well, we know that American presidents have had trouble all the way back to Truman, Eisenhower, and everybody with prime ministers of Israel, yet the relationship has stayed in some way, both financially and other ways, emotionally very secure. I think if Obama had not been the president of the United States, it would have had to be someone who emotionally feels the sort of black and white of the situation. And I think maybe George W. and Netanyahu would have gotten along because they shared a kind of dark view of the world, an almost messianic view of themselves in solving the problems of the world. And maybe those two could have at least agreed on what to do, but I'm not sure peace would have been part of that equation.
Right. I mean, you make the case in your doc that kind of raising the specter of terror, exploiting Israelis' fears of Arabs, is kind of what made Netanyahu who he is. So tell us, who is he? I mean, where did he get this worldview from?
So he's the son of a man named Benzion Netanyahu, a scholar, most famous for his work about the Spanish Inquisition in 500 or whenever it was. And his theory is that every couple of generations, the Jews, wherever they are in the world, become the targets of people who want to eradicate them. And that is such a part and parcel of everything about being Jewish, that certain Jewish leaders must rise up and protect the Jewish people under all circumstances, including the preservation of Israel. So Benzion teaches young Bibi and his older brother Yoni and his younger brother Ido this as a kind of concept in life, that everybody's going to try to wipe out the Jews. It's a very black and white situation. There are no friends to Jewish people or Israel in the world. It will fall to you to protect them, both as warriors, so they all join the military, and as political figures. So they, especially Bibi, works his way into sort of politics as a man who feels the responsibility of carrying the survival of Israel and Jewish people on his shoulders.
Well, I mean, you make the point that George W. Bush and Netanyahu could have had this mind meld, but the issue of the Iran nuclear deal really brought things into kind of an existential reality between Obama and Netanyahu. It's been rocky pretty much since the day they met.
Absolutely. Almost from the very beginning. We talked to lots of people around both of them, all of whom say there could be no more difference between two leaders. And Netanyahu, very pessimistic as a person, very dark as a sort of perspective on the world, dark, firm, authoritative, and like a bulldog. Here's Obama. He comes in, feeling that he's the closest thing to a Jewish president that's ever been elected, 70% of the Jewish vote, the influence of the progressive Jews in Chicago all over him, and his sense that he's carrying this sort of idealistic, progressive view of Israel and of Judaism with him into the White House, right? A guy who also says, I'm a talker. I'm a professor. I'm a sit-around-the-table rationalist. I'm a believer that I'm from a Muslim family. I've lived in Muslim communities. I'm going to unclench their fists by saying, we're not as joined at the hip with Israel as America used to be, and I can be your friend. Now, could there be any two more different people, an optimist in Obama, a pessimist, a negativist in Netanyahu, both of whom feel very strongly about their worldviews, and both of whom clash four or five fundamental times, which is essentially what our film is built around?
Is the current standoff between the White House and Benjamin Netanyahu, is it about, as some have said in your documentary, Obama stumbles and his naivete on working with Netanyahu's Israel? Or is it all about Benjamin Netanyahu, who exploits the terror angles in his favor? And who could work with that?
Yeah, Marco, he does all of those things, and he is when he's finally called to the docket, that will be the bill of retainers against him. Obama and Obama's administration, too, out of hubris, out of believing they were completely transformative, they, too, made some serious errors about how to deal with this guy. I mean, if you know this about him, do you really get him into a meeting your first time with him in the White House and sort of put your foot on his neck and say, we're going to force you to go through the peace process? I mean, at that moment,
stop building settlements. Yeah,
exactly. And close up and freeze the settlements until back to the 67 borders, which is about the biggest tripwire rhetorical thing you can say.
Yeah, that's a great first date.
Well, exactly. It was from that that the people around Netanyahu told us that he came back to Jerusalem and said, this guy, he didn't say enemy, but he said he's an adversary.
Yeah, I got to say, knowing what's at stake in the Mideast and the sense of parity that you need on both sides and giving that respect, you'd think that the second phone call would have been to Benjamin Netanyahu, if not the first.
Yes, yes.
Filmmaker Michael Kirk is the man behind Netanyahu at War from our partners at Frontline here at WGBH. His film airs tonight on PBS nationwide. Michael, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, Marco.